Thank you. Let me first of all thank all the organizers for arranging this wonderful meeting. Now, I don't regret coming all the way from hot Madras to this cold. It's fantastic. So today I'm going to talk about some aspects of Mott insulators, which is not very familiar to many people. So I thought I will tell about it. And this will be mostly in the spirit of model building, inspired by several anomalies in the experiments. It turns out that the world of oxides is extremely rich, and I have had the good fortune to have been hearing about it for the last several decades, starting from my good friend Ganguly, who is at Pune. He's a great oxide expert, and Subba Rao and C.N. Rao and many other people. So we have debated about various aspects of this Mott insulator over years. So here I would like to synthesize some perhaps common aspect, some unexpected quantum spin liquids in some of these Mott insulators. I have to connect it to the okay. Still it doesn't obey. Okay. Oh, I didn't want this, but it's happening. So I will talk about down-to-earth materials as emergent. Then I walk through the garden of Mott insulators. Then this is not the order I wanted, but it's okay. Something happened, you know. It's the what happens when you synthesize old PowerPoint and new one. Okay. So it's amazing that if you look at history, nature has shown us the an unexpectedly rich world from down-to-earth materials. And particularly when you come to the quantum world, more is different in much more different ways. Just a pun on Phil Anderson's "More is Different." And it seems there was a very interesting conversation between Niels Bohr and Ernst Mayr, a very distinguished evolutionary biologist, that he was talking about emergence in biology and various things. And Niels Bohr is supposed to have said that all of physics is emergence. So he gave the example of water molecule. Suppose I give you one water molecule. I have no idea about what's going to come. So I put a couple of water molecules together, I have hydrogen bond. Then I put more of them together, I have 12 phases of ice, and you know, ice rule, and lots of physics. Then I let ice freeze, and I see things outside, snowflakes. Let water flow, I see turbulence. So lots of things keep emerging, which you would not have expected at the level of one single molecule. You can give other examples like carbon atom. Who would have expected that carbon atom will organized to give graphene, which will in turn will give you spin Hall effect and a possibility of an anomalous fractional quantum Hall effect and so on. So even simple things, when they get together, particularly in the quantum context, many new things emerge. Okay, so this is in price of the title of this conference, emergence. Now, if you go back in the last 100 years, very humble metals like copper, aluminium, gave us the idea about Fermi-See, Pauli pressure, which gave persons like Chandrasekhar idea about Pauli pressure working against gravity and giving a mass limit to stars. Amazing, you know, going from copper to stars. Similarly, specific heat of solids, Einstein wanted to understand why at low temperature it becomes small. He came up with this Einstein theory of solid, and then we have magnons. Essentially, quantum field theory began there. Then superconductivity told us about, you know, in mercury, macroscopic wave function and flux quantization, macroscopic coherence, and in other directions, inspiration to Nambu that he thought about mass of elementary particles as gap in some primordial superconductor, and then Anderson-Higgs and Higgs phenomena and so on. In very simple, humble insulators, we have band, block states, band gaps, holes, impurity states. If you have some twist like spin orbit coupling, then you have topologically protected quantum states, all from, you know, very simple materials. Then graphene and 2D electron gas in interfaces. you have integer quantum Hall effect. So, you know, very simple systems has given us so many things. So now, this simple system, so-called lanthanum copper oxide, which began the revolutionary activity in the field of high-temperature superconductivity, seemed to have generated so many activities. And if you look at lanthanum copper oxide, I don't know how many of you have seen it, the powder looks like a, you know, dark tooth powder. We use tooth powder in India, so I immediately thought it's a tooth powder. Even the single crystal is not very attractive. But then if you look at my family of Martin insulators, it's an interesting quantum magnetism. It could be ferromagnetism, antiferromagnetism, helical magnetism. Then coupled with ferroelectricity, you have multiferroics. So we will look at this corner, which was introduced into our world through Anderson's beautiful idea of quantum spin liquids. So it seems to be a seat of high temperature superconductivity, non-Fermi liquid, and so on. Now, in the last two decades, so many very key and important ideas have emerged from friends all over. It's amazing that you have spin charge decoupling, the notion of spin on and hole on coming from Coulson and company, and Zhao Gang Wen enlarging on these ideas, beautiful ideas like quantum order, projective symmetry group, and many others, topological order that came from quantum Hall effect, and then in a very simple dimer model that tried to mimic a quantum spin liquid. Then AKLT chain Haldane Shastri model, trying to understand one-dimensional good solar projected Fermi C, and then very beautiful models which are kind of, when you think about Bethe-Ann sorts, which is exactly solvable, to me it's very fearsome, because I could never sit down and derive all the things and calculate things. Whereas all these models are very friendly. You can, even I can calculate things. So, it's amazing, and it, so models need not be complicated. And, there are spin liquid and Majorana fermion and Kitaev honeycomb lattice model, Majorana liquid, all these friends are here, and quantum string liquid and nictites. So many ideas spin off from this little, corner.
The models don't have to be complicated, but if the physics is, then the models have to be. These beautiful models that bottom, yes, with the Majorana fermions that fully gap, and with the three fermions, and
yes,
it's a very tractable, very nice. The physics is simpler than your very first, emergent, right, Fermi surface with the.
So the real system, right? But okay. So just since you mentioned this it turns out the Kitaev model, which is very simple and which has a drag cone, you can generate Fermi surface in this also, by appropriate. But it's not the same as this. I agree with you. Yeah, there are. What Matthew says is one can go only one, to some extent, with models. Okay, then we'll have to invent new models. To deal with this unexpected richness in the quantum world, very beautiful theoretical ideas, including cohomology category theory. I don't understand. Like Cynthil doesn't understand. So then I had a comforting answer from.
We can't tell.
He's then, speaking of names.
I know.
Then I had a. Then I had a comforting answer from Zhao Gang last November. He told me, Bhaskaran, no, it's nothing but addition of angular momentum. Then I was happy. Now I can add 2 angular momentum, 3 angular momentum, and I can extrapolate. It's like saying that I know 1, 2, 3, 5 integers, so I can understand somebody solving Riemann's conjecture in number theory. So it's like, okay. So all kinds of beautiful ideas, and in fact, the quantum entanglement is coming in a very, very fundamental way. Raphael Sarkin asked during Matthew's talk about, can one think of entanglement as some degree of freedom? It's a very non-local object, but however, I can show in some simple examples that this, as Matthew also pointed out, emergent gate degree of freedom somehow encodes quantum entanglement in a very, very beautiful way. And in all beautiful developments, tensor networks, MERA, which connects with ADS, CFT, we have Brian Singul here, we have Giffrey here. So very new approach, very refreshing approach of variational wave function in terms of tensor networks through entanglement and denormalization and new way to address strong coupling problem. So this is in the background. Now, in this, with this in the background, I will talk about very simple phenomena, which apparently is very important in not only in quantum chemistry, solid state chemistry, and also in biology. If you look at octahedrally coordinated transition metals, which are there, for example, in our body, the heme protein has some prosthetic group where iron is sitting there in a very important way. It changes its charge state, it changes its spin state. It's responsible for grabbing oxygen and releasing oxygen. So lots of physics is governed by what we are going to see. So if you think in a very simple way, an iron or cobalt sitting in an octahedral environment, for example, there will be crystal field splitting. So this is one important parameter. In the old models, you think in terms of point charge model. Then there is also covalency. So that leads to some effective splitting of this five-fold degenerate d levels. And then, of course, there is a very important Hund coupling, which tells you that in order to gain, you can gain exchange energy by being parallel and having maximum angular momentum and so on. And then there is Hubbard U, which says that you can't put two electrons in the same orbital with opposite spin. So it's the interplay of these things which defines beautiful physics in allowable energy scale. For example, if you take one of these complexes where iron is 6-fold coordinated, you find if you do experiment in the liquid phase or in the some kind of some phase, you find the susceptibility showing very clear high spin signal at large temperature and low spin signal at low temperature. In other words, what I'm saying is that when these things are comparable, you can go from the so-called low spin state in which the T2G levels, two of them are doubly occupied, and one of them has a spin, an unpaired spin. Okay, then there are two unpaired spins here. So this will be so-called spin one state and this spin zero state. So you can go from high spin to low spin state easily by changing some parameter. It could be an external parameter like temperature or magnetic field or even light. For example, you can shine light in some of these complexes and then create a local excitation, which will create different charge distribution. Immediately this parameter changes and then spin immediately jumps. So to the extent that you can create photomagnetism. So this is a local physics well appreciated in solid state as well as in quantum chemistry community.
I mean, is this part of hemoglobin or not? Is that, I mean,
no, this is not part of hemoglobin.
I mean, hemoglobin is a bit like that, isn't it? With one ion.
Exactly. So it's more planar.
It's not planar.
So there it's more square, like it's more like square coordinated. Okay. This fellow is by construction, it's a cubic. Yeah, it's different. I had some pictures, but I did not. For example, if you look at one of these things, this is a so-called low spin state, and this is a so-called high spin state. And if you look at susceptibility, there is chi times t has some flat behavior, Curie behavior, and then there is a very clear spin state transition gradually. So these are all well studied in quantum chemistry, and people have lots of results, and you can do compute, and you can come get information about local parameters very, very nicely.
Sorry, what makes the delta zero change as function of temperature?
Okay. So, for example, there can be very often lattice vibration is invoked that essentially expand the thing. And then also entropy, because now it's a thermal transition. If I go to a high spin state, I gain a lot of entropy.
Oh, I see.
So it's an interplay of these parameters and temperature.
So energy has to be close enough that entropy.
Exactly. And it turns out there are many, many systems where this happens, particularly with cobalt and iron. If you go to N materials, for example, nickel becomes stiffer and chromium becomes stiffer and so on.
Well, then there's some calculation to see the energy difference between these two configurations.
Oh, yes, detailed. This, in fact, in the next transparency. For example, these friends, Tanushri from Saha Institute in Calcutta is involved in this work, Rose Valenti. They do very detailed first principle analysis and get these parameters. Previously, they used to do very simple crystal field splitting calculation. Now there are sophisticated LDA, LDA plus U.
But these two configurations somehow are very close to one.
Very close in all these. Yeah, in these systems, very interesting things happen. So if I were to write down a very simple Hamiltonian for example, for this situation, I will say that, you know, I'll have to finally go back to electrons because these electrons can occupy different orbitals. Somehow, I want to make this a stable state. So I have a total spin operator, which is made up of this electron operator. And then I have to put a constraint that there are four holes. In the language of four holes, it is simple. There are four singly occupied sites. And then I have some kind of local constraint. And then at the end of the day, effectively, there is a Hund coupling, and then there is some crystal field splitting, and there is a Hubbard U. So it's interplay of this which leads to what you see experimentally. It's a one-side problem. You can solve it exactly. Now the question is, what happens if you put them together? And this is where, you know, for example, if you put this together, it forms a molecular solid, which is hydrogen bonded. Then remarkable structural phase transition occurs. Because when I go from lower spin to higher spin state, I change occupancy in the d orbitals. So there will be this change in charge distribution. So there will be change in force constant. So basically, the spin state change causes local charge distribution and or sometimes the antler distortion. The cooperative structural change is a response of the molecular lattice to these changes. So it really occurs as a cooperative, often first order transition. From this, you can infer lots of parameters. Here, in this cooperativity, there is no connection between these ion atoms, between neighboring cells. They are well separated. It controls the local neighborhood, the physics in the lower hand. For example, in this system, there is a two-phase transitions around this temperature. Now, there is another system, which is this. I can never expand it, but this is what it is. So you have such complexes, but the quantum chemistry says that this ion starts communicating, so the exchange interaction becomes important. Then, for example, some of these theories find out how the single ion behavior is getting modified in the presence of this. And what I'm going to say is that if you introduce communication between neighbors through, for example, super exchange, in addition to renormalizing the behavior of a single ion, there can be very novel cooperative effect leading to very novel quantum spin liquid. That's my message. And I will give some examples from known systems, you know, possible places. Okay. So my drawing is so bad, I wanted to confirm that this is a F orbital. So I have taken a picture from the internet. So, you know, it's a quantum petals. So we are going to walk through Garden of Martin Slater. That's what I will do in the rest of the 20 minutes, the last day of the conference. I will not give any category theory or cohomology. Now, let's look at the simplest of metal oxides. In fact, historically, nickel oxide is supposed to have raised a question in one of the conferences in which experimentalists reported that this is an antiferromagnet and also an insulator. Then Piles is supposed to have pointed out that if you think in terms of band theory, this is an even electron system, and you know the simple argument will tell you it's a metal. So somehow correlation is playing an important role and making it an insulator. Then Neville Mott elaborated that, and the idea of Mott insulator began. So this series, except for some corner fellows, it's a very simple system. You have a sodium chloride structure. For example, if you take the middle of this cube, there is a transition metal, let's say manganese, sitting there, surrounded by six oxygen atoms. So there is a beautiful crystal field splitting. And then if you look at manganese oxide, Mn2 plus has five electrons in the D shell. So each orbital contains one electron. Hund's coupling is made happy, and Hubbard U is made happy, crystal field, everybody is made happy. And you have very beautiful spin high for 5 half quantum antiferromagnet. And when you go to iron oxide, you have one more electron, so there are four holes. And then cobalt oxide, you have three holes. Nickel oxide, you have three holes. So experimentally, this is the what happens. What you find is, as you walk along, I will talk about copper separately. nickel, cobalt, iron, manganese, all of them exhibit high temperature, reasonably high temperature, real transition, and then it keeps coming down. And then there is some kind of first order transition as you walk across the series, and chromium is anomalous, and vanadium oxide is anomalous, and titanium oxide is anomalous. One of the major problems, as we all recognize by talking to experimentalists in the cuprates, is making good single crystals and stoichiometric systems in oxide. So there is a rich world here, as I will try to point out, but main progress is stopped because of materials power. So it's very difficult to create, because when you try to create chromium oxide, you have other kinds of oxide, chromium, double oxide, CrO2, and many other complexes which come in and makes life very complicated. Similarly with vanadium, vanadium is well known for VO2, V2O3, and several other oxides. Similarly, titanium, TiO2, and many other oxides.
What's the pattern of magnetic bordering? It's the magnetic moment sits in an SCC lattice.
Yes.
So that's frustrating.
So there is something called type 1 and type 2 antiferromagnetic order and frustrated lattices. Because the moments are large, it settled down in one of those ordered moments. I have some
complicated pattern. It's
not very complicated. What happens is you take this FCC lattice, think about a triangular 111 plane. So you order them antiferromagnetically. In the plane, they are ferromagnetically ordered. Order them antiferromagnetically. That seems to
but
be.
It's still collinear. It's collinear.
Exactly. Still, it's collinear. So in none of these things, there is non collinear order. They're all very simple collinear system. For example, these authors, including Goodenough, who is an author here, wonder what's actually going on here. Now I will point out that, in fact, many interesting things go. Before I forget, this corner is not a rock salt structure. It's very distorted. It becomes monoclinic, and it can be thought of as a ribbon of CO2. But what happens is, finally, is a very beautiful resonating valence bond state system, in the sense you have a three-dimensional array of CuO chains. So strongly coupled along the chain. So you have a strong Heisenberg antiferromagnetic chains, which are weakly coupled among themselves in this three-dimensional network. So if you look at neutron scattering and you see beautiful spin wave, spin-ons above some energy scale. And there is a weak antiferromagnetic order around 250 Kelvin, and you do see some Goldstone modes. But if you go a little beyond, it becomes very, spectrum becomes very broad, and it has been interpreted in terms of spin liquid physics. So this is a very nice example of a three-dimensional spin liquid, but coming from weakly coupled antiferromagnet in some complicated way. Okay. Now, in order to illustrate what's going on, I will take this another very beautiful example of lanthanum nickelate. This is very much like our cuprate. So replace nickel by copper, copper by nickel. And then you get nickel 2 plus 3d8. Now you have, unlike copper, where you have dz square, which is w occupied, you have a single electron. Now we have two single electrons, and they sit like this. Now I'm going to argue, I will not give the experimental results because there are many other systems to see. There are many interesting anomalous behavior seen in this system. It could be explained, for example, one scenario, thinking along this line, is that if you take this system, there is some pressure. It could be chemical pressure or physical pressure. Under some condition, Mott insulator wins, and you have a spin 1 Mott insulator. And under some condition, Mott insulator fails, and you don't have sharp local moment. So nominally, I call it a spin 0 Mott insulator. But how do I distinguish it from a simple band insulator? I will do that next. Then you have a paramagnetic meter. So in the generalized schematic phase diagram, you have this possibility. Unfortunately, getting good single crystals and doing negative pressure and positive pressures are very difficult. So not much is known about this phase diagram. It is known in some other context, but I will not go in other systems. Now let me talk about this in some detail. So I want to have a Mott insulator where I don't want to have a very sharp spin at a given site. Then I can do AKLT trick. For example, I have basically two orbitals, which are valence orbitals, and I have two electrons. So they are in this beautiful dx square minus y square and z square orbital. So I want to escape from antiferromagnetic order, and I want to escape from Hund coupling. Then suppose I decide to form spin singlet. Then it turns out, even though, you know, I have taken a physical electron here, I have violated Hund's rule and gained super exchange energy by the singlet formation. It turns out I don't violate Hund's rule that much, because if you look at two neighboring spins in this cell, they form a singlet. So with respect to each other, they have random spin configuration. So there are four possible states, and it turns out three of them are actually Hund rule satisfying, and one of them is a singlet. So in this like AKLT pairing or Haldane pairing, you do satisfy Hund's rule to some extent. So now it becomes a question of numbers. What is the energy gain between gain by super exchange and energy gain from this Hund's coupling? I will not go into the details, but it immediately leads to some very interesting possibilities. For example, I explained it in the context of some iron arsenate compounds. I will not go into the detail. What happens is you can form singlets between neighbors and locally satisfy 75% of Hund coupling, but then you avoid this. This is well known in the context of quantum solid state chemistry as bond charge repulsion. That is, if I form covalent bonds or a singlet between two neighboring orbitals, there is an excess charge here. Similarly, there is an excess charge here. There will be repulsion. So the system will try to avoid such overlaps. And the consequence of this is something remarkable. So if I think about the physics of super exchange in one subsystem, you can view it as an RVB, where there can be unpaired spin and some singlets resonating, similarly in the other orbital. And then put it together, fuse them. And what you find is new structures, namely strings. So you can say these are all the AKLT chains, which is a frozen chain in a one-dimensional problem. Here you have a liquid of such things, and it can resonate, and you can have unpaired spin. So emergence here again. Because friends were fusing, you know, anions and quasi-particles. Here I'm trying to fuse two many-body systems. So the result can be catastrophic in the condensed matter system. So, you know, you can imagine several kinds of emergent objects. I will not go into the detail. Now, okay. Now, I did it in a situation where there is no orbital degeneracy. Where, as you know, suppose, you know, I have everything is filled here and two electrons here, and then Antler effect will not be active because both states are occupied. Whereas if I have a situation like this in titanium oxide, this is one of the N members. I have basically two electrons in titanium 2 plus, and then I can put this electron in many ways. And it's well known that if you have octahedral complex, Jan and Teller showed long back that you can gain electronic energy by this, for example, C-axis distortion in which one level will go up, other two will come down, so you gain electronic energy, which is proportional to the distortion. But the lattice will resist it. That is like a harmonic restoring force that will be proportional to delta displacement square. So there will be a finite equilibrium, which is a Jahn-Teller distortion. So the bad thing about this from resonance point of view is this will localize valence bonds, for example. So this will prevent resonance. So it's an essentially strong singlet phonon coupling, and it will allow resonance. But experimentally, you see lots of interesting activities. So somehow, you have to take care of this. There are two ways of taking care of it. One is the following. So you have two orbitals. So imagine constructing singlets between two neighboring the T2G orbitals, and then it can bend in several ways now. So I will show it a little later. So what you find is you have a quantum string now living in three dimension. Okay, I will not go any further. Yes, only 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
My God. I was, you know, before I go, that I thought I will have plenty of time, so I will be finishing before time. That's all. So there are very, okay, this is one way. Suppose you have the singlets running around, then on a time average, you have local distortion, so you can avoid Jahn-Teller distortion. There is another very nice way of doing it. which can lead to very interesting things. Again, I will not go into the detail. See, for example, you have this hole, you can say here. Now, you can avoid antler distortion, for example, by putting this hole in this state, which is a complex linear combination of, it's like an angular momentum state. So 2 pi by 3, 4 pi by 3. And then if you look at the charge density distribution in this, it will have cubic symmetry. So the lattice, the neighboring lattice will see it as a uniform charge density. So unlike, you know, when you have this configuration, so it will not distort. But however, a state like this has some local angular momentum, and you can have plus 1 or minus 1. So this leads to very interesting possibility that if you put the system into this and then calculate Hopping matrix element, it starts remembering the fact that I am in this angular momentum state. So this is somewhat like what Jeffrey and Lukos was talking in the context of Kagome lattice, that you can go into, in the presence of magnetic field, you can go into chiral combination. Here, spontaneously, you can go into chiral combination. So, you know, there is a whole world of possibilities. Since I have only a few minutes, let me complete with this particular famous example. It turned out, when I was a postdoc at Bangalore, Professor C.N.R. Rao, you know, who recently got a famous award called Bharat Ratna, it's a pearl of India, you know, it's for his outstanding contribution to science. He joined as a professor. And it turned out I was the only fellow working on that kind of problems. I was working on some spin-phonon interaction. So he came and showed me this result. This was 1977. Shows that I'm very young. And the surprise was he had mass bar effect. So there was no phase transition. We expect some kind of phase transition because cobalt is in high spin state in this regime. And then somehow they don't cooperate and it falls down. So they were trying to explain it in terms of single ion physics. So at that time, I had no idea about all these recent developments. So after 30 years, I'm slightly more mature to attack this problem. So now I can say that, I will not present the result, that many of these phenomena can be explained in terms of your cooperative behavior in which you have two possibilities. In fact, the problem here is, even experimentally, there are debates, and also theoretically, there are debates whether the region here is dominated by intermediate spin or high spin. There is definitely low spin here. So depending on what you have, I have two possibilities. One is a quantum string liquid in which every site has two singlet bonds of the two among the two distinct neighbors. And then this is like a quantum branch polymer because I have I have four electrons, unpaired electron. They can form pairs with four neighbors. And there are many such combinations possible. So I have some, you know, complicated string net, you know, you may say. So all these are all possible because experimentally there is no phase transition. So that means this aspect of cooperativity is definitely hidden there. And if you look at the literature, there is no neutron scattering result at high energy. There is some very low energy neutron scattering result at few milli electron volt, worrying about one particular excitation. But if this is true, interestingly, you will find very strange form factors and excitation spectrum. So it completely remains unexplored. So let me complete here by saying that, you know, there are the world of Mott insulators. I wanted to prepare a transparency, but, you know, I didn't get up in time in the morning. So I will just write down the names and then complete. Cubic perovskite, we are very familiar with. Starting with manganese, whole world, many, many of them, double cubic perovskite. This is what, if you remember, Arun Paramkanth talked about, an example being La2Fe molybdenum O6. So you have take a perovskite lattice and then replace half of the manganese by iron and half of the manganese by molybdenum in a periodic pattern. You get beautiful physics. Then you go to transition metal. Dioxide, VO2, TiO2, it's a dull insulator, but, you know, manganese, and so on. And this becomes a ferromagnetic metal. This becomes like a piles insulator. All kinds of rich physics is there, including niobium, O2. And lots of interesting activities going on in this system. metal insulated transition, local spinglet, singlet, spin singlet physics. This is a ferromagnet, and that is a very interesting story why it manages to escape singlet physics and becomes a half metallic ferromagnet. Then transition metal halides. If you go to web elements, under every element there are compounds, and you see beautiful structures of, for example, iron, iodide, planar structures involving very complex magnetism. None of them have been extensively studied. So the whole family of transition metal halides, which needs to be explored. And I looked at one or two available things. There is a very beautiful possibility of this kind of physics. Nitrides. It's amazing that this material, chromium nitride, if you do valence counting, there will be 3 electrons in the T2j orbitals. Unfortunately, it's not a Martin insulator, but it's close to a Martin insulator according to electronic calculation. So it has escaped from becoming a Martin insulator. But however, the Mott physics is there. And lots of interesting non-Fermi liquid physics and all things are there. And again, there is some room for some of these things if you expand it. There are similarly vanadium nitrides and so on. Then there are pyrochlore systems. A very good example is which clearly shows this kind of physics. I will not go into the phenomenology. And another very nice system, Li2RuO3, somewhat similar to this iridate compound that Kaliulin and Jackley made very popular as realization of Ketayev model. Here, nominally, one will think that ruthenium 4+ will be a spin 1 or spin 2 system. Here it turns out, using this kind of physics, emphasizing on singlet population coupling nearby, it behaves like a spin half Mott insulator, according to my modeling. So there is a rich variety of things, and also NIGA compound, which, for example, Senthil has worked on it. It's a puzzle that it behaves like a spin liquid. It's a spin 1 compound. So one possible scenario is quantum string liquid, but then how Hund's coupling becomes smaller and helps this, it's yet to be studied. So I just want to complete by saying that this garden of Mott insulator is very rich. In fact, you can sit in one corner and enjoy all the evenings. So I invite you to some of these things. Thank you very much.
Have an example where the low spin state actually spins zero. So here, like low spin and a high spin is a 1 or 2, but whether there's a 0 and a
exactly. Yeah. This in many of this for example, here it is a spin 0. So low spin state is
so
spin
in this,
0.
In this sample, the low spin state is
0. 0, exactly. So people, they think of this as a very dull atom. But my point is, it may look like a spin zero state. There are mass bar evidence saying that even here, in that time scale, there are strong spin one and spin two fluctuation. That can be explained as virtual fluctuation. So the string liquid picture in which neighboring these electrons, they are not sitting in the lowest possible, for example, in this case.
There's a three possible spins, spin 0, 1, 2.
Exactly. 3 possible states. Okay. And it is the spin 0 which I described can be explained in terms of this kind of string liquid picture. And when you go to high temperature, entropy considerations come in and they start breaking the spins and you go into some high spin thing in a continuous way. This is remarkable. So I think all the classification that friends have been working on, I think there will be more work to do if some of these things are realized. Because the objects are different, the symmetry classification perhaps will be different. So I'm trying to categorize things using experiments in quantum chemistry.
Okay.
Maybe at some point category theory will become useful if these things are realized.
So for the spin equilibrium mechanism, is there any interesting kind of sign?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. So your point is that can I have complicated phase relations among the spins? So at the moment, I have, in the examples I studied, I took very simple phase relation. With respect to orbital, I pointed out that you can have complex phase relation, and that leads to interesting physics. So one can imagine doing similar thing with respect to spin. So what I have done so far is to do some simple modeling and study simple cases, which seems to agree with at least lanthanum cobalt oxide and some experiments. There is more to be done.
More questions?
Thank you.
So it's actually possible.